You have your Bibles, you want to turn with me, if you will, to Luke, the 13th chapter. And Luke, the 13th chapter. And we're going to read about being liberated and feeling good today. Now, I don't know how many of you had trick-or-treaters at your house last night, but we had some really cute ones, you know, and I think that it's always good to see those kids, and you say take two and they take five. You know, you say take one and they take three. And some are a little bashful. They don't even want to put their hand in there for fear that they're going to get something they're not supposed to. So it's really cute to see them in their costumes and to see them come by. And so we always look forward to it. I was the duty candy hander outer last night at my house. You were too. How many of you were the duty candy hander out? Yep, my wife went to the store. So, with her family. But today we're going to be talking about liberated and feeling good. So if you're able, would you please stand as we read from the Word of God, beginning with the 10th verse and ending with the 17th. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. May God give his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Today we find ourselves with many friends and family members and those who are in an infirm condition from either illness or sin, from circumstance in their life, from fear, guilt, or maybe a myriad of other things we obtain from this world that are not of God. The Word of God is full of people who were once bound by something. The children of Israel were bound by the grips of the Pharaohs in the first few chapters of Exodus. But by chapter 15, the children of Israel are singing a song of liberation. Listen to the feelings of this liberation after being in years of bondage. Said they sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. I think it's time for some of us this morning to sing a song of liberation. It is time for us to be loosed, to be set free, and for all Christians to throw off the ropes and chains that prevent us from moving into that abundant life Jesus talks about in John 10:10. If you will, let's look at the last part of verse 11 of Luke 13. It says, And in no wise lift herself up. This woman was so down she could not get herself up. For it may have been a physical condition, but for others it may be circumstances, or it may be a feeling of unworthiness. Many people, including Christians, are burdened and heavy laden for one reason or another. Some of us have tried everything we know to get out of this, but we just can't seem to get any real peace. Whether it's our health or our circumstances, we just can't seem to shake the negative ideas that have been planted in our lives. The harder we try, it seems the worse they get. And to try and lift ourselves up is not being able to accomplish the things that makes us even feel worse. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-30, he says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This lady could not lift herself up. She spent day after day in her misery. Every day seemed to get worse. We know that it probably came along a little at a time, and at first she probably barely noticed. And then it became worse and worse until it was obvious to everyone who knew her. She never thought she'd end up like this, probably. We find, like the lady in Scripture with the issue of blood, she had sought help from so many people for so long, she felt like there was no hope. And this lady may have sought help as well. And sometimes we might even find someone who may just be able to listen to us and maybe even understand. They nod their head and say yes in sympathy and in agreement. But truly, the only one that really knows us and knows our circumstances and knows our feelings and knows everything about us is the Lord who created us and His Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us. The Bible says that before we were ever born, God created us for a purpose. And Our Lady in Scripture with the infirmity was not created for the bound state she found herself in. She was created by God to be liberated and living free and not be bound by the things of this earth. And I would submit to you, so were we. Someone here this morning may feel as though you have been dealing with stuff for years and it just seems you can't break free to be all that you know that God wants you to be. Let me tell you, you need to understand this message this morning is for you. You see, the children of Israel were not created to be slaves by Pharaoh. They were created to serve God. God did not create any of us to live in captivity or sorrow or guilt or shame or to be bound by anything of this world. He created us to be liberated and feeling good. We were created to be children of the kingdom, children of the Almighty, who by faith we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at me to Luke 13, 16. It says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" I think there are three important truths that we can understand from this verse. First of all, this woman is a daughter of Abraham. She was grafted into the family of Abraham, and so are we. This lady was entitled to everything that God had promised Abraham, and so are we. Galatians 3:29 confirms this for us. It reads, "And if ye be in Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise." As believers, Scripture says every believer's inheritance includes everything God has promised to every child of God. The second point about this lady with the infirmity is that she was one whom Satan hath bound, the Scripture said. You see, this is saying Satan bound her with this illness, with this infirmity that kept her from being all that God wanted her to be, that kept her down and concentrating on those things which are not of God, her illness, her circumstances, everything, instead of the kingdom of God and the power and the glory and the promise of an almighty God. And as long as we are bound by anything that is not of God, we lose our ability to be all that He created us to be when we feel ourselves getting tightened and bound by those things that are not of God, that don't free us up and make us feel good about ourselves and know that we stand in the shadow of the Almighty and in the promise of the Maker. Dale Hayes, in his leadership journal, describes a trip he made to Haiti where he heard a Haitian pastor use this illustration. He said, "A certain man wanted to sell his house for $2,000, and another man wanted to buy it very badly, but he could not afford the $2,000. He wanted to get full price for it, but it seems that after bargaining with this young man who wanted this house, the owner agreed to sell it for half the original price, with just one stipulation. He would retain ownership of one small peg protruding from just over the door." After several years of this young man and his family living in this house, the original owner came back and he wanted to buy it back. He said, no, I don't want to sell it. He said, I'll give you twice what you gave me for it. No, I don't want to sell it. So the story tells us that this man that was the original owner went out and found the carcass of an old dog that had been killed. And he hung it from that peg at the front door because he still owned that peg. Soon the house became unlivable, and the family was forced to sell the house to the owner of the peg. And the Haitian pastor concluded, if we allow the devil to even own one small peg in our life, he will return, you can bet it, to hang his rotting garbage on it, making it unfit for Christ's habitation. I would submit to you this morning, have you given Satan just one small peg in your life? Have you opened yourself up to ungodly influences in any way in your life? It could be the sins of omission or the sins of commission. It could be just forgetting your true inheritance as a child of Almighty God. You see, Charles Kraft says that demons are like rats that are attracted to garbage. The problem is the garbage consisting of things like persistent sinful behaviors, our reactions to emotional wounds, sinful generational influences and patterns, or just the careless attention to our spiritual growth. These are the things for which we are responsible. You see, with the devil's peg in our lives, we can never live the abundant life that Christ offers us. For Satan really does not care what kind of rope he uses to bind us. He may use our vices, he may use our jobs, or he may even use other people to keep us from his abundant life. The fact is, if you're not experiencing the abundant life, you are bound by something and need to be liberated. The word of God is clear. The third truth from our scripture today says, be loosed from this bond. Listen to verse 12. It says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. Can you imagine how she felt when Christ said, you are loosed from this infirmity? I'm not sure, because the scripture is silent, but I bet there was some shouting going on in her worship. I bet there was some happiness. I bet there was some joy, and I bet those around her knew it. And the same should be true of us. When we get rid of the garbage, then the rats won't have anything to feed on, and it's easy to make them go away. This morning, I would ask you, do you hear Jesus calling you to be liberated and living good? Hear these words from John. If the Son shall therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We were created to be liberated. You were created to be free from the bondage of sin and the entrapments of this world. I want to tell you that there is a miracle that is waiting for each of us as children of God. Maybe most of you know about this idea of a miracle when you think about the movie A Walk to Remember, that was based on the book by Nicholas Sparks, who is one of our Newbern authors. It illustrates how one person's life has learned to live free and can impact the lives of others and even an entire community. You see, Jamie Sullivan is the high school daughter of a widowed pastor in the small town of Beaufort, North Carolina. Though the in-crowd ridicules her for her conservative appearance and her conservative values, Jamie, this young lady, resolves in her mind to be all that God wanted her to be her own person. Even the high school yearbook called attention to her primary ambition in life. Her primary ambition was to witness a miracle. You see, Jamie is dying of leukemia. And Jamie befriends Landon Carter, one of the high school hunks. one of those teens that would mock her. And people were concerned about this relationship, his friends and even her father. But for some reason, Jamie pours her life into Landon, helping him to study to make better grades, rallying him to memorize his lines for a school play, and even introducing him to the wonder of astronomy. During this period, Landon falls in love with Jamie. Eventually, they marry. But after a mere 3 months of marriage, Jamie dies. And in honor of Jamie, Landon decides to attend college, where he distinguishes himself as a capable student. And after graduating from college, he returns home to Beaufort. And the first person he wants to see is Jamie's father. As the two of them sit down together, Landon announces that he's been accepted into medical school. And while talking, Landon reaches into his backpack and pulls out a book of poetry and quotes that had originally belonged to Jamie's mom, and Jamie had given them to Landon when she had been sick. Landon looks over to Reverend Sullivan. He said, "I want you to have these." And then Landon said, "I'm sorry, Reverend Sullivan, that she never got her miracle." The minister looked straight at Landon, and she said, "She did get her miracle. It was you." You see, if we want to witness a miracle in our lives, first in our own lives and then to affect the lives of others, we need to trust Christ with all of our life. We need to sling off and get free of this bondage of sin and the bondage of things that we think about that corrupt our mind, and that we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and let us know that we have been loosed by the power of God to live free, to be all that God wanted us to be. And that is our first miracle. God has created you to be an effectual, fervent witness of the glory of God, to be like the people of Israel that were freed after Pharaoh bound them for so many years to sing praises and to love him and to live a life of joy and not let the circumstance of this life pull you down and keep you from all the things that God has for each of us. Oh, if you've not trusted Christ, if you're not sure you're a Christian, let me tell you that today he's calling you by name. Do you hear him? In that still small voice, he's asking you to come to him, to know him, so that he can loose you and free you up to live a liberated, victorious, abundant life. No, Christian, you may have loved him all of your life, but you just can't seem to get that victory. You just can't seem to be free. There are things that bind you, and the things that keep you from being all that you want to be. It may be messages that you received as a child. It may be messages you receive at work. It may be messages or sins that you've committed that you can't quite shake. Well, I'm here to tell you that the power of the risen Savior forgives you. And he wants to loose you from the bondage of the things of this world, so that you can sing, "Praise God for the miracle in my life. And let me be the miracle in someone else's life." I want to tell you, let him have full control. Resist the traps of Satan in this world. Let Christ do what only he can do for you. Let him free you from anything in your life that is you bound, so you can live the abundant life. Then let him use you to open the way up to change the lives of others. Oh, my dear friend, this morning, don't let Satan bind you. Don't let society's attitudes detain you. Instead, let the Savior deliver you and use you for his glory. Be liberated and living great. And I promise you, you will see what God does. You will see a miracle. And I would ask you this morning, in faith, hear Jesus calling you to be loosed. Hear him speaking to your heart like he called for the woman who had the infirmity. Let him loose you this morning. You can come to us this morning and profess your faith in Christ as we sing this great hymn, Just As I Am. You can join our church simply by taking mine and say, I just want to join this church. We'll tell you how. Maybe you're here, you need to rededicate your life. You've let the devil keep you down too long. And maybe there's another decision you need to make this morning. You come as we sing this great hymn, Just As I Am. You come. Number 435.